in IGN's article or whatever, they're like 8 to 12 hours depending how good you are or whatever. And we did in like 6 minutes. Or not 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Yes.
We just blew through that campaign.
Me, Mario.
Please be advised that a noticeable taste of blood is not part of any test protocol, but is an unintended side effect.
Pills here!
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum. Finish him!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Power Up Podcast. I am Matt, you know that by now. I am joined by Tyler and Stefan, no Lieber this week.
Douche.
Oh well.
Yeah. Oh well.
See ya. Like he's never missed a show before. He's like here half the time.
Well, yeah. What? We probably wouldn't have heard a word from him when it came to the Halo section. Just like yeah. It pass.
It's good.
It's good. I like it.
I played about 5 games.
Which Halo are we talking about?
Although he did come over last night, we broed out playing Halo.
Broski.
It was only him and me. Even though I might have had spots for 5 people, but you know. Yeah.
Sorry. That's all I can say.
No comment.
Austin was the worst. He actually planned on coming over and then he goes, I'm stuck talking to my parents.
He never even got on.
Never heard a word from him again. I can only assume that his parents murdered him.
That he must have one hell of a conversation with his parents.
And they're still talking. No, you don't understand.
What do you think the reason of life is?
Look, that cartoon porn you found on the computer is not mine.
All right. You guys ready to just jump right into gaming news?
Let's jump on in.
Let's do this.
High dive. I've been doing it.
Time for the heart and soul of this podcast. Here is gaming news.
And boom goes the dynamite.
All right, gaming news. We're actually only going to have 3 segments today because we got gaming news. We have this day in history, I hope, lasts somewhat because it's a good one. Then our last Halo Reach around where we review the game, tell you about our experience, clean up all the jizz from last week.
That's a lot of jizz.
Yeah. Anyway... we're going to start off with, no, I don't want to click an ad. You must be mad.
Squish.
The 15 best-selling PlayStation games of all time. You guys want to take a guess on what might be on this list at all?
PlayStation 1 or just any PlayStation?
Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
It looks like any PlayStation.
GTA 3.
Oh, well, let me look. I'm pretty sure you're right. I just don't want to look like an ass.
I was like one of the best on the PlayStation because it was PlayStation specific.
Crash Bandicoot.
Ding ding.
All right, let's get into this list. We're gonna start off at number 15, Crash Bandicoot.
All right.
Number 14, Tekken 3.
Good one.
Tyler, defend it. Nah, just kidding.
Let's not go back to that.
I love playing as the dinosaur in that game. Like you could do volleyball and stuff. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Next up, Crash Bandicoot 3, Warped.
Good one.
Number 12, Crash Bandicoot 2.
Jeez, a lot of Cortex Crash Bandicoot Strikes Back. I didn't know people like Crash Bandicoot so much.
Dude, Crash Bandicoot back in the day, it was the best game for PlayStation. I'm not going to lie.
11, a game I hated. I hated this before Spoonie hated it. Actually, he probably hated it about the same time. Final Fantasy 8, number 11. I couldn't fucking stand that game.
Not a big Final Fantasy fan myself.
Yeah, I don't know anything, so.
Yeah, the worst game ever was Final Fantasy X, too, because Final Fantasy X, at least I had fun playing it. A lot of people hated Final Fantasy X. I loved it. But then Final Fantasy X, too.
Wasn't that the one with a bunch of chicks?
It was just all chicks. And it was marketed as, like, it's the sequel. And, you know, this was before I was, like, really into, like, looking up things on the internet and stuff like that. So I was just like, oh, it's a sequel. No, you change your skills by changing, like, outfits and stuff like that.
Yay.
I made it through, an eighth of the game. And I was like, this is the gayest thing I've ever played, and not in a good way. And I was like, I'm done with this.
And Tyler Swanson, I'm sorry if you're listening, but Final Fantasy sucks dick.
Hey, Final Fantasy's fucking awesome. I'll destroy you.
I will destroy you.
I will eat your children.
I actually played a game with a guy with a gamer tag that was, boom.
Tyler and I used to do that in Battlefield Battlefield 2.
Yeah.
We'd strap C4s and we'd get in the same Humvee and we'd go in and we'd go, ah, la, 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 and we'd jump out and then detonate them. It was fun. Half the time we failed, though. All right, number 10 is Final Fantasy 10. Number 9, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 for the PS3. Number 8, Gran Turismo 2. Yeah. Number 7, Final Fantasy 7. What do you know? 7 and 10 are at the 7 and 10 spot.
Weird. It's almost like they planned
Final Fantasy 7 is an awesome Final Fantasy game. Like, if you want to play one and get into it, that's the one you should play. Although now there's a bunch of people that are like, 7 sucks. I like 6 better.
I hate them all.
It's like that. You know how that anti-Halo movement has been coming around just because everyone talks about how great Halo was, and now everyone's like, it sucks. That's what it was like with Final Fantasy 7. Everyone's like, it's great. It's an awesome game. Yeah, and then people are like, no.
People complain about Halo, though.
Because
just
when
complain.
Something like is fun and everybody loves it, then there's always people that are like, oh, wait, everyone loves this.
I
hate
conform.
It now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a nonconformist.
This
I'm
is
a
overrated.
Conform to nonconformism.
Like, okay. Can't you just enjoy things instead of having to hate things? I don't know.
Yeah. Number 6, Gran Turismo 4. Number 5, Gran Turismo. Huh.
I don't know if that was that great a game. I mean, I guess.
Well, it's pretty popular among like racing and PlayStation fans.
Number 4, Grand Theft Auto 3.
Yeah.
Number 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Yeah. That was a good game, too.
Number 2, Gran Turismo 3.
Holy crap.
I know. I noticed that pretty much everything on this list
is within like 4 franchises.
Yeah. There's
Final
Crash,
Fantasy.
It's Crash Bandicoot, Tekken, Final Fantasy, Modern Warfare, Gran Turismo, Grand Theft Auto.
So we got 6.
That's 6 franchises. And the final one is Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Yeah. You know, I'm surprised Spyro was on there. Spyro was always a fun game for the PlayStation.
I loved fucking Spyro.
I know. A little purple
not
dragon.
A gay
or
way.
Sly Fox. That was a fun game. Sly
Gex.
Fox.
What about Gex?
Oh, yeah, Gex. I have Gex. Or Twisted Metal. I'm surprised there's not
oh,
Twisted
yeah.
Metal on here.
Yeah, that was another good one.
And these are actual numbers, too, like... These aren't just like, oh, yeah, these 15 are great. It's literally the 15 best-selling. No. Huh. No Twisted Metal, which is the one I'm actually really surprised at. No
yeah.
Gex. No Spyro.
What is this world coming to?
Makes me sick.
I'm surprised none of the Uncharted's made it on here. Modern Warfare did. I guess that was had a little bit more of a build-up, but still. What do you know?
And Halo Reach is so badass, it should have just made it to the list anyways. I know this is a PlayStation, but let's just put it on there anyways.
Number 1B, Halo Reach. All right, next up, top 5 leading men in this console generation. Anyone want to take a stab at this one?
Leading men?
Yeah, leading men.
Like stars of the games?
Yeah.
In this console generation, Master Chief? Wow. Wow.
I know, and there's some on here that, like, number 5 and number 2.
Probably one of them's the Uncharted 2 guy, whatever, Nathan Drake or whatever his name is.
We're talking Bing. This generation.
Yeah. It's still yeah. the same console generation.
Marcus what, Phoenix?
What's his
probably
name
not.
From Call of Duty?
Price or something like that, or Soap.
Snake.
What the hell? Oh, kids are playing these days.
Jimmy Bob Thornton.
I know this is. I don't agree with number 5, Nathan Drake, the guy who's had a good game.
Yeah.
Because
the first Uncharted wasn't that big of a game.
Oh, I got him.
Uncharted
got
it was good. I never
the guy
it, but
from Assassin's
it.
Creed is probably on there.
Ding. Yeah.
Number 4, Nico Bellic.
Nico.
One I really
Nico
liked, but I don't.
Cousin.
Yeah, I guess you could call him a face of this. Number 3. Ezio Auditore di Firenze.
Did they have to debut on this console generation? Because that's what it seems like so far.
I don't...
Because Assassin's
I don't
Creed, Uncharted 2...
think so, but...
Grand Theft Auto 4.
That's the way they make it look, but it doesn't seem like... okay, it is people introduced in this console generation, but that
yeah,
doesn't
that
mean
makes,
Marcus Phoenix
yeah.
is...
Well,
what
that,
about that?
Yeah, that's true.
That's all... That, and that's... Marcus Phoenix or Dom, that's way above Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
They've had 2 really yeah. good games. Nathan Drake's had a good game. Same with number 2 here, John Marston from...
How's that?
That's from Red Dead Redemption.
Oh.
Red Dead Revolver was a very middle-of-the-road game. It wasn't that good. That's why I was surprised that Red Dead Redemption was getting so much praise, and then I realized, okay, this game is real good. But there's another example of someone that only had one good game.
You know, I'm going to play a game just like that, only it's modernized. It's called Grand Theft Auto. Well, you know, I already own it, too, so sweet.
All right, number one on this list is Commander Shepard from Mass Effect. See, that one I understand. Even though I don't like Mass Effect, it's a big game.
I've never really played it personally, but I think I've seen Austin play it, and I really wasn't that impressed. But
I played it. It was all right. It was a little slow for me in the combat system. I didn't like, because I wanted to use the telekinetic powers as my main powers, but every time you want to do, like, a telekinetic push or whatever, you had to, like, go into a menu and then choose it, and then it would do
yeah,
it. Like,
that's retarded.
Why can't I just press a button to do it? I don't understand.
You know what game actually has really cool, like, you know, telekinetic kind of powers, you know, the Force is Star Wars. Well, yeah, I remember that game. That game was fun. That was a two-player. That was hard, though, sometimes, but Star Wars Unleashed actually had a lot of really cool, you know, with ways to use the Force and stuff. I enjoyed that game.
The Force is strong.
Within my cock.
Alright.
Alright, next up, top 10 Halo Easter eggs. First up is the literal Easter egg from Halo 3. On a few Halo 3 multiplayer maps, including Sandbox and Sandtrap, spherical objects have been found. These obviously resemble widely decorated Easter eggs. Huh, what do you know? Next up, the food nipple grunt from Halo Combat Evolved. Which apparently spouts this quote: "I hope the food nipple is waiting for me at the starship, because, man, I've worked up a big, grunty thirst."
Yeah. Terrible.
Marty the Dancing Guy from Halo 3 ODST.
Marty the Dancing
Guy. Did you ever see that one?
I don't recall.
No, apparently you could find Marty dancing around.
Oh, gotcha. Huh.
Siege of Madrigal music from Halo Combat Evolved. Apparently on the Assault of the Control Room level, if you kind of head out further than you should, you get like music that wasn't originally in the level.
Gotcha.
Halo 3 did that too. There was like, I forgot, it's when you fight the two scarabs in Halo 3, and then if you travel out somewhere, you get some music from Halo 1. Various faces throughout the Halo series. On rocks, moons, the Halo rings, stuff like that. The face of Mario during the Halo 3 beta. You can find Mario. The cavemen in Halo 3.
Oh, yeah.
You can find Trogdor on Foundry. Does anyone know who Trogdor is?
No.
Trogdor!
The Burninator.
I have no idea.
He's half dragon, half man.
Have you ever heard the song?
Nope.
He's a dragon man.
Guitar Hero man, check it out.
No.
Originated at homestarrunner.com in like 02 or something like that. The urinating brute in Halo 3. You don't ever see that one? I never did.
No.
What was it?
A urinating brute. And then the final Easter egg is extra cutscenes just throughout various games. I'm surprised a couple didn't make the list. Ling Ling's head?
Okay.
That didn't make the list. I know it's pretty much widely known now that you can set up like an Xbox and go through Halo 2 and find it, but it's like, that was a good one. And the guy in his underpants at the end of Halo 3.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, I'm surprised those two didn't make the list, but who am I? I don't make lists.
You should become a master list maker.
Yeah, that's a hell of a title. So I see your job before this was master list maker. Tell me some of the qualifications you have because of that.
I make lists.
Well, I know if you give me a bunch of different things, I can order them and rank from 10 to 1. All right. Next, another Halo thing. 5 things we've learned from Halo. Number 1, get your hands dirty every so often. Yeah, what's up? But this is just saying that in Halo, you don't necessarily have to use the gun for shooting.
It's true.
Yeah.
Everybody loves an everyman, even though Master Chief, they say, a mega super soldier from the future can't really be called an everyman, but in a way it's true because you can envision yourself in his shoes as you're playing.
Yeah, that's why I call a first-person shooter.
Number 3, fundamentalism is dangerous. I completely went over my head, that was funny. Yeah, well, that's why I call a first-person shooter. Anyway, fundamentalism is dangerous. Those grunts following the prophets is the example they give. 4, sometimes people just want to feel important. just how I am. 5, get your license. Apparently they love driving in Warthogs. They only gave a sentence for this.
What's a Warthog?
What's a Warthog? And if it flips over, don't worry, you can just flip it back over with your hands. It
looks more like a puma to me.
Nice. They should have made a puma. It's just like a slightly slower mongoose, but instead of the back, it's just got like a rail shooter. It's just like All right, and last for gaming news, campers better move their feet in the new GoldenEye 007 gameplay mode. Apparently in the new 007, if you're camping in one spot for too long, I'm not sure how long, you blow up.
Nice.
That makes total sense.
I love that. I think it really means, like, serious campers. Because, like, I'll use Halo as an example. There's a difference between, you know, ending up in a firefight, grabbing the sword, running around the corner, and then killing the next two guys that come through, and then game start, grab sword, get in corner, don't leave.
Dude, I was about to, like, just have an aneurysm today. Some dude, like, we're playing DMRs on Courtyard, and some dude just gets a sniper rifle, goes up onto the tower, and no one can get near him. He's got, like, 3 teammates surrounding him with the DMRs. He takes one shot at you, they take you out with the DMR. I was about to freak out and throw my controller.
That's really gay teamwork.
Well, GoldenEye, the reason why they probably have that is because they have, like, remote mines and proximity mines, so somebody can just lay up in a room and throw remote mines all over the place.
That's very true.
Whereas other games can't, you don't really have that ability.
That seems like a fun game. I can't wait to get that.
Yep.
Play some GoldenEye, better than the N64 version, which has not aged very well.
Yeah.
Me, Stefan, and Lieber tried to play it a few months ago, and we're just like, what the fuck is going on? I can't see anything.
Isn't it like...
Well, use the C buttons to look around, which is just weird.
Yeah, and it's like, isn't it inverted too?
It is inverted.
It's just like you play games a day and try to go back and play that shit. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It was great back in the day because that's what we had, it's what we were used to. And
well, I'm sure if you played it enough, you'd get good at it again. But after spending years using two sticks.
Joysticks, man.
Yeah, like, I never had an N64, so I was actually able to, like, pick up and play GoldenEye at the time.
Yeah.
After being, you know, 2 joysticks beat in my head, I cannot pick up and play that game anymore. I have to practice if I'm going to play that game.
PlayStation 2. No, well, PlayStation actually came out the joysticks first, didn't they? Like the 2 double joysticks?
I think so. DualShock analog controller. Yeah. Yeah.
Way to go, PlayStation.
All right, so that'll do it for gaming news, and we're going to move into This Day in History.
Think back to the past for This Day in History.
All right, so it's not this day in history, it was sometime last week, but 25 years ago, Mario came out. And this time, we're going to go deep into Mario.
I've always wanted to go deep into Mario.
Way too deep.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting a clue.
All right, first of all, what was your first Mario game, Tyler?
Super Mario Brothers for the Super Nintendo.
Stefan?
That I remember playing?
That you remember playing.
Probably just the first one, to be honest. That's all I can remember. Well, I mean, the one that sticks out most to me from, like, being a child would probably be either 3 or Super Mario World, but I know I played the other ones first, obviously.
Well, it's funny. Isn't Mario's, like, first appearance in, like, Donkey Kong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I remember Super Mario World was my favorite for a long time just because it had Yoshi, and I really liked the style of it, the art style. But, yeah, I'd have to say my first one was probably the first one. But it's hard to remember that far ago.
My first Mario game, I was 3 years old. It was Super Mario Brothers 3. And what's actually weird is, you know, that was 93. And I didn't play Super Mario World until, like, 95, 96. And that game came out in 91.
Yeah.
So it's just weird to know that Super Mario World had already been out. Like, I could have, my first game could have easily been Super Mario World.
Yeah.
On the Super Nintendo.
Yeah. You same know. With me. I really don't even know. I would just assume it was the first one, but I can't honestly remember which one was first.
I got an interesting statement about, you know, Donkey Kong, though. So Mario and Donkey Kong face off. They go through all those levels to save Peach, and then they, they never see each other again.
Tell Super Smash Brothers.
Really?
Yeah.
Smash Brothers. Super Smash Brothers.
And Mario Party. And
what
Mario
I mean
Kart
is, like, I'm
Mario
surprised
Party
that they didn't have some kind of
That they don't have just a game where it's Mario and Donkey Kong.
Yeah. That was really that's really what originally started.
I think they came out with a new Donkey Kong.
Did they really? When?
I don't know. I'm not even positive it's real.
Mario and Donkey Kong bro
it's a myth.
Out.
See, is the Donkey Kong that we see today Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong Jr. though? I thought it was DK Jr.
It
Which, if in that case, Mario was the bad guy because he had him fucking caged up in one of the sequels.
That's probably why.
Donkey Kong has some bad blood. Because, yeah, I thought the original Donkey Kong was, like, the dad and DK Jr. Like, you know, in the Donkey Kong games where it has, like, that old Donkey Kong? I thought he was
the original?
The original one. That's just what I thought.
Maybe so, Mario really isn't Mario. Maybe Mario.
Because
Mario,
in the Donkey Kong games, the little Donkey Kong is Diddy Kong, not Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I thought it's DK Jr.
You know what I read on Yahoo Games that will, like, I will never take Yahoo Games seriously again? Because they're not pandering to people that actually play games. They're pandering to people that just browse Yahoo. Because one of their did you knows about Mario was that Mario has a brother.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Oh my God. Like,
what?
No shit.
They should have a reunion.
Unless we're talking
like
about
VH1.
The movie. Then they're like uncle. Uncle and nephew.
Yeah, yeah. And
Uncle Mario.
They were like, did you know Mario's real name is Mario Mario? Yeah. I'm like, no, we will forget that movie.
This is Mario Mario, and my name is Luigi Mario.
All right, so what was your favorite Mario game, Stefan?
As a kid, it was Mario World. I think now it's Mario 3, but that's kind of a tough... That's like a toss-up, but... I don't know. Are we including, like, Mario Kart and all those, too?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that makes
I
it
guess,
a little bit tougher.
I guess it's, like, it has to be a Mario game or have Mario in the title. So you can't be, like, Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
But it has brothers in the game. And Super.
I'll probably go with two Mario Bros. 3. No, I'm going to go Mario World.
All right, Super Mario
I think
Mario
I've always been a Mario World guy.
All right, Tyler.
I don't know, stuff. Like, I don't know if I want to go old school with it or want to say, like, Mario Galaxy. Because, I mean, that game was straight pimping.
That was fun. So was the new Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But sometimes you got to recognize the classics.
Yeah, I got to. I'll probably. I kind of got to go with the original.
But remember, you got to keep the classics in check.
Yeah. Super Mario Brothers 2 wasn't bad either.
I really like Super Mario Brothers 2. I don't get why people say, like, it sucked. It didn't suck. It just wasn't the same thing.
Yeah. I didn't mind that game. I liked it. I liked the fact that each character had a different, like, strength or whatever.
What about Yoshi's World?
Yoshi's Island?
Island, whatever. Same thing.
That was a fun one.
I fucking hate Yoshi's Island.
That's the one with Baby Mario, right? Or are we talking about the... No, that was Yoshi's Story is what I'm thinking of on N64.
Yeah.
Or you're all the Yoshis.
Was Yoshi in just the original Super Mario Brothers?
No, he was in
World. That was his first one.
That was fun, too.
That's probably why I liked it so much as a kid.
He's
obviously,
riding Yoshi,
Yoshi
around all
fan.
Over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Use his tongue.
Oh, yeah. Yum.
So, what was your favorite Mario game, Tyler?
I'm going to have to go with Super Mario Brothers 2.
Mario Brothers 2, huh? Well, my favorite Mario game, Super Mario All-Stars plus Super Mario World. Nah, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm going to have to go Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
I love that game. I recently beat it like 6 months ago, too. It was fucking awesome.
I think Super Mario Bros. 2 is just more nostalgic for me.
I think the thing about the Mario Bros., though, the thing that makes them so great is they still stand up to this day.
Oh, yeah.
You could play Mario 1, 2, 3, World, any of those classic games, and they're still just as fun as they used to be.
Well, let's face it, I don't think there's a franchise that has been around as long as Mario.
And that's why Super Mario Bros. Wii was so much fun, because, like... It felt like the classic games just updated, you know? It had new stuff, and that's awesome.
You know what game is just begging for a remake, new franchise?
What's that?
Pong.
Pong?
Pong.
No. Pong Unleashed.
Pong Extreme Hardcore.
They killed Pong's family. Now
Pong
forever.
Is out for Pong forever. It's been years in development.
Yeah, it's been, like,
secret
what, 30
development
years?
For 30 years.
Pong 2. Pong
2. One day we are going to get Pong 2. It's like updated graphics, but this time it's just four paddles. All right, so Mario question insert here. I have no idea. I was just thinking of another question to ask you guys, and I lost it. Okay. What's your favorite new Mario game, like, within the last 5-10 years?
5-10 years, I'd have to say Super Mario Bros. Or Mario Galaxy, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That was a lot of fun. It surprised me. Like, I got it, played it for, like, a month when my Wii was in the living room.
Yeah.
Giggity. And I stopped playing just because I didn't want to sit in the living room and play it. But when I, like, a couple years later, like, it was probably last year when I did this, when I added my room, I just got a urge to finish it. And, oh, my God, that was so much fun. I want to play the second one, but
it's
just haven't
gotten
around
to it.
It's
crazy some of the shit that goes on in that game.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally running around worlds. Planets. There's always planets are like, holy crap. Could you imagine if a planet like that actually existed? Like a lava planet?
Okay.
Alright, so my final question to you guys is, what is your favorite, like, non-major Mario game? What is, like, besides the Mario games and Mario Galaxy, what else would you guys consider as some of your favorite Mario games?
Mario Kart by far.
Yeah,
Mario Kart 64 is still the best Mario Kart.
It got fun with, you know, when they brought, I can't remember what they called it for the Nintendo, that first one where you can switch partners or whatever. That was fun.
Double Dash.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one on the GameCube wasn't as good. It wasn't bad, but it had a lot of options and characters and carts and stuff, which was nice, but Mario Kart 64 is the best by far.
How about Mario Kart at Family Fun Center?
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was fun. We need to just, like, buy a
row
of those.
When the wheel's not broken, it's fun.
Yeah.
Just buy a row of those and just put them in here.
Oh, yeah, that'd be amazing.
Do the podcast and play.
I would almost rather have a Hydro Thunder machine, but... Or with that horse racing.
Let's just get them all.
Machine.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, that thing was like crack.
Oh my god. All right.
Did we like start playing that as a joke? Like, oh, this is going to be funny. All of a sudden, we're like, dude, this game rocks.
Yeah, then we have like our own cards. And we're like, yeah, keep my horse going.
Another one that stands out, Mario Party, the first three were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if you enjoyed those, but back in the day, we had a lot of fun.
Oh, Mario Party was a bomb.
Three were like the best.
Remember that night, I think it was my birthday or whatever, where basically I got stormed out because we were in a cabin in the backyard. We just went downstairs. We played Mario Party for, like, the rest of the night. And then, like, we get, like, something going on and, like, all like we're really far and, like, the storm, like, set to surge and, like, my TV turned off.
Yeah.
And you're like, no!
Super Smash Brothers also. I remember when I first saw that game, I was so, like, I thought it was completely different than what I thought it was going to be. Like,
yeah.
I saw the trailer on TV, like, the advertisement, and it was, like, zoomed up on Donkey Kong and Mario.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was on a platform, they were on one platform, and it was zoomed in really close, like you can do in the game, but it's not usually how it is. And it's just Mario, it looked like a fighting game where, you know, you're zoomed up really close, and it's just Mario and Donkey Kong fighting up.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I was really happy with the results, but point is, I thought it was going to be completely different than it was. But, oh my gosh, those games are awesome.
All right, so no one has any love for Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games?
No.
No.
I never even really played those.
I will say my favorite, and I really mean this, like, offshoot Mario game is Mario fucking Tennis.
Mario Tennis.
I love
and
Mario
Golf.
Tennis.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Steph, do you remember playing Mario Golf?
I'm not
Golf
a big fan of Mario Golf.
Oh, that was fun.
Even though it's not bad, but I seriously, when I was at a friend's house one night for his birthday party, I could not get enough of Mario Tennis. I love that
game.
Dude,
those games were sweet. Mario Tennis, yeah. Mario Golf, like, those beat out, in my opinion, any tennis and golf game that there is.
Oh, yeah, well, hands down, easy.
I remember we were playing Mario Golf one night, and that's when Michael Freeman went home crying because we were, like, okay, doing what he wanted to do.
God, I wish they'd make... I think they have new versions on the Wii, but it's just not the same. They don't, for some reason, when they make, like, well, I guess the GameCube version of Mario Golf, anyways, was really good. I don't think I played the tennis remake or whatever sequel, but man, those were awesome. I had another one. Mario RPG was a lot of fun, and Paper Mario.
Yeah, RPG is really fun. I never played
Paper Mario. Was just like RPG, but, you know, like all paper 2D effects, and oh my god, that was a lot of fun too.
Yeah,
I never played the sequels of those either.
What was it, Mario 64?
Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
The first 3D Mario where you'd run around.
Yeah, the first 3D. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. There was, oh my god, there's so many good Mario. I think Mario, for fans always say, oh, you know, Mario's milked and Mario's oversaturated, et cetera, but there's a lot of good Mario games still around.
Mario really, if you think about it too, Mario really started this whole video game phase.
Yeah, good observation. Mario got the ball rolling.
Well,
thank
that's
you.
What I'm saying. That's why, like, how can you, like, really be like, oh, Mario's just
It's just too. New. It's just new school fans or just fans in general that hate on the Wii because it's kid-oriented or whatever, and now all of a sudden they're too good for Mario. Like,
but
I
Mario
know people
was way before the Wii.
Yeah, but I know people that are, like, 25 or something. They act like, oh, I'm too old for Mario. You know, Mario's... No, that's too kiddie. It's like you grew up with Mario. What the hell's wrong with you? Slap.
At least we got Carson going in the right direction. He's got Super Mario Brothers for the DS, and he's got Mario Galaxy. So
yeah,
at least he's going the right direction here.
Like Mario still has plenty of good like franchises, and I saw that, what was it, like Mario Sports or something that looked kind of neat. Like it had like volleyball.
Yeah.
It was shown at E3, and that looked kind of neat. If it's anything like golf and tennis, I would love it. They also have, like, strikers and baseball, but I never tried
the
those.
The beautiful thing about it is just got so many different, like, ways to play the game. Like, you got the 3D version, and then you even got the old classic 2D version where you're just, like, trying to run through the level.
Yeah, I can't wait for Super Mario Bros. Wii 2 if they do it. I would love that.
Yeah.
With more stuff and whatnot. That'd be great.
Indeed. Well, that is Mario. I think if you want to play any game, you should at least have to beat a Mario game to get your gamer card.
Yeah.
It's like here you go, you've graduated. We still know somebody that needs to play, like...
I don't think you can honestly call yourself a gamer
I'm saying Mario 1, 2, 3, World, maybe Kart. But at least the classic ones, because, I mean, those are just so good.
I can't stand people like, I'm a gamer. You ever played Mario? Who was Mario?
It's the only reason I have a Wii, and it's the only reason I had a GameCube is because Mario is the shit. Okay?
Mario,
you've got these great franchises these days. 95% of them are first person shooters.
Yeah,
Mario is a breath of fresh air.
Well, think about it too. Mario is the only reason Nintendo got enough money to make the Wii. If there was no Mario, there'd literally probably be no Nintendo.
Like, another Nintendo statement would've... from Tyler. That's obvious. Like, Mario is good. He's pretty popular guy.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, if everyone's... I mean, if you can't... You gotta appreciate Mario, because if it weren't for Mario... That's what I'm saying. That's why you gotta appreciate it, because if it weren't for that...
Well, you're right.
Nintendo wouldn't have
everybody,
made as
far as... Every gamer should appreciate Mario, but... Not everybody does.
People I know. Just don't want to.
That's why I'm saying. That's why I'm pointing out the obvious for the people who don't know the obvious.
But yeah, when I played Super Mario Bros. Wii for the first time, oh my god, that was like... It's like I woke up from a coma. Like, to be honest, like, that's the best way to describe it, because for the past, like, 5 years, and I mean, there's a couple games, you know, I got into Skate, you know, I got into, I don't know. The fact is, 95% of the games that I played were first-person shooters, so it was finally great to go back to, like, a 2D side-scroller like Mario. It just felt amazing.
Seven was just like, it's like waking up from a coma while getting a blowjob.
Like, wow, that's a great way. Timing is perfect. Were you here, like, every day, like, making sure that this happened? But anyways, yes. I hope they make a Super Mario Bros. Wii 2. Hope to make a new... Honestly, I hope the next Nintendo platform doesn't put so much emphasis on the motion controls and goes back to, like, a straight gaming platform with the controller. And that would probably be a godsend. I mean, not that the Wii's terrible, but if they just had a normal controller for... Most of their games, we had good Mario games, like good Mario Karts, where it wasn't so motion-based. I would love them.
Can you actually plug in a classic?
You can do that with the new games, but it's just, I don't know, it's just not the same, because they build it around the motion controls, so it doesn't feel the same when you're using a controller.
I think the motion controller is good for, like, Wii Sports, you know.
Yeah, I think it
like
should
that,
still be an option with the second, or their next console, because I think it's going to be with every console from here on out, but
there's just
I think
games,
it should only be, like, a 20% ratio or something like that.
There's just some games where you just want to sit on your lazy ass and not move around.
Well,
hey,
not every
Mario.
Well, not every game, like... should have motion control. That's my point. Like, I don't want to play Halo in motion control right now just because I like it with the controller.
However, they did do a pretty good job of incorporating that with the Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's not a lot. I mean, you gotta use the motion for, like, spins and stuff, but a lot of it's just kind of old school control based.
Yep. Alright, so that's Mario and motion controls. Anyway, so after all that Mario stuff, we need to move on to our very last Halo Reach around.
Prepare. Prepare yourself. This is Halo Reach Around 2010. Get some.
All right, Halo Reach. First of all, what did you guys think of the campaign?
I liked
it a lot.
Way
better than 3.
I can't really remember how I felt about 3 at the time.
No, I was still kind of tired that it was like hard.
But from now, like, I know I really enjoyed this one, and I don't know if I really enjoyed 3 as much, but I can't remember, so I can't really compare. Because I don't want to, like, short Halo 3, you know? Like, I don't want to make, like, oh, this was way better, but because it's new and I just played it, but at the same time, I don't think there was a dull moment in campaign this time, whereas 3, it felt like I just wanted to get it done, you know? I just kind of wanted to beat 3 to find out what happened and go on to multiplayer.
How about the spaceship fighting?
There was a lot of good...
That was fun.
And that's my... The biggest strength about this campaign was probably the fact of the variety.
Yeah.
It seemed like, you know, you had your regular run and gun missions, you had your vehicle missions, you had sniper mission, you had different environments to begin with. You had your jetpack area, you had your space area where you're going around in like low gravity or whatever, and then you had
ostriches.
Yeah, you had all kinds of weird shit like that, and you had the space fights, and it was a lot of fun. The Falcon mission where you're flying around.
Yeah, I think if you compare, like, I would put Halo 3 and Halo Reach on the same level, especially because they gave me different feelings. Look, I have feelings for both of them. but they're different feelings, all right?
I saw you, Matt, playing Halo Reach the other day.
Halo 3 gave me more of like an epic, this is the final battle, we're going to blow this shit wide open and then do the necessary paperwork kind of battle. Halo Reach gave me kind of like a solemn feeling and like a horror movie feeling at sometimes. Yeah. You know, sometimes the music was like, gave you kind of like a scary feeling, and then just the very end, you know, I don't really want to spoil it for people that haven't been through the campaign, but the end is
really neat.
Something that you haven't seen happen since the first Call of Duty when you get your ass.
I'll tell you what, yeah, that the way, like, you know, we thought, okay, if you haven't played the campaign yet, I would cover yours right now, but if you have,
what
I guess if you just want to go ahead and spoil it, then you can go ahead. You know, it's not like I just tried not spoiling it.
I guarantee you that anyone who's played, it's probably been played by now.
Look, Tyler, we get over 300 listeners a week. You think all of them beat the campaign?
So I told them to cover their ears.
The campaign is awesome. I mean, you don't really need to spoil anything to prove how awesome it was. Like, I recommend playing it, and I think it's definitely has more variety, as I said, and it definitely feels a lot more fresh and keeps you entertained. And it wasn't even that long, actually. That was probably my only complaint, but at the same time, I can't really complain about it because it allowed me not to feel like it drug on.
I'll tell you what.
Sometimes campaigns can go on too long, and you're just like, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
It probably would have been different, though, if we weren't all playing, because at least, you know, you respond. As long as someone's alive, you stay, you keep going.
Oh, yeah, we did. We beat it faster than what was supposed to, apparently. Yeah. In IGN's article or whatever, they're like 8 to 12 hours, depending how good you are or whatever.
Shit out of that,
and we did in like 6 minutes. Or not 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Yes.
We just blew through that campaign.
We did in like 6 hours and 23 minutes, I think, was the final time. But that was even including when our first level where we had to restart or whatever.
Yeah, because
so it's probably only like 6 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's probably what it really was.
Yeah, we really did blow through that campaign, and
I don't think we restarted once. I think we at least managed one person to stay alive that entire time. To respond.
No, we had a few times.
We had a few times.
There was maybe like 5
what
or 6 different times.
When we were in the Falcon,
that one, yeah,
that was
especially
handy, yeah.
That alone, there was like 5 or 6 times. But
and we got stuck in that room, but nobody. We didn't all die at the same time, but we got stuck in that room early. I think it was like within the first couple levels where. When we first got, like, when I first got armor lock or whatever, is that little point where we got stuck in that room where they were kind of, like, gangbanging us.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a couple other choke points, but it wasn't that bad after all, like, when it was all done.
It's funny. It seems like both Falcon missions kind of raped us. None of those were the Falcon missions, but...
Oh, yeah, that other one where we were trying to shoot everything.
Yeah,
with the grenade launchers and shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you guys think about the multiplayer so far?
Good stuff.
It's good
stuff.
I think it's exactly the way it should be. Like they seemingly took the best parts of 1, 2, 3 and ODST and just kind of shoved them together, like the strengths of everything. Speaking of which, I completely forgot you had a night vision in campaign.
Well, yeah,
I think
no,
we used
really,
that for like the first two levels, but I think I completely forgot about it.
I used it a couple times, but not a lot.
There weren't whole levers levels where you needed it though.
Anyways, I think they cherry picked, as Bungie put it, the best parts of each game.
Yeah,
and it feels a lot like a mix between Halo 1 and Halo 2, like the strong points of both of those games mixed with Halo 3 and, you know,
ODST.
Those like smaller portions of those, but
yeah,
like everything just feels like very nostalgic yet fresh and new at the same time, and I think they really balance that really well.
I don't know if I just got burned out from Halo 3 campaign before it, but as much as I've had fun, and I would, you know, I'd say yeah, it's better than Halo 3's multiplayer. I haven't had that one moment where I'm like, I am all about Halo Reach right now. Like, I've had fun, but I have yet to reach that point in multiplayer where I did with Halo 2 and Halo 3 and even Halo 1 where I'm like, this kicks major ass. And I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying I haven't hit that point yet.
I've hit that point, but it's been really hard for me because I'm so freaking busy all the time. I go to work, I'm like, yeah, I really want to play this, but I can't. So, I mean, I just haven't had a whole lot as much. I guess what I want to say is I've had the time I've wanted to be able to play it.
Insightful.
You're welcome. My first moment that felt like that was when everybody was on the game. And all our old buddies from Halo 2 were all down the list.
That was
you had Evros, really cool. Nate, Atomic, Jake. Like, just the whole list of people that we used to play with. And now we're all back on the same game. It's like we've come full circle. And we even played with Atomic and Jake the other day for like the first time in years, and it's like, wow, that's pretty sweet.
Speaking of that, I think Halo has been the only game where I've actually, like, when it first comes out, that everyone on a friends list is like playing it. I've never really had a game where it's just like everybody on your entire friends list is playing that same game.
And I think that factor really plays into it well, because now for once we actually have a game where like everybody's on again, because most of the people on our friends list are from like the Halo game.
Yeah.
Whereas Halo 3, it seemed like it kind of died down or whatever after the first year. Like, I didn't see those people on forever or didn't play with them, but now it's like Halo Reach is like Halo 2 again, where we had an 8-person party together, for God's sakes, and that's like rare.
Yeah, that hasn't happened in a long time. There was even a moment where I thought like we were going to have too many people.
Yeah.
Like, there was 8 people, and then, like, someone else got on. I'm like, shit, this hasn't happened in a long time.
Are you going to the next group? No, you go to the next group.
We got a lot of people, but then, someone left, I think. That is really fun. I don't know, I haven't had that moment matchmaking yet where I've just kicked some serious ass. Like, I've had good moments.
Yeah.
Like, I had a sniper spree out of nowhere. You know, I just kind of found the sniper on the ground, and I just rattle off a bunch of kills. But then, you know, the next match was all snipers, and I got fucking dominated. So it's
I've actually gotten quite a bit better at sniping, too.
Like, I kind of agree with where you're coming from. Like, it's not, like, as addicting and, like, make you want to play it. Yeah. Like it is for me, but not at the same time, it's not as much as Halo 3 and Halo 2 were at the time of their coming out or whatever. But I think the reason why that is because probably this isn't, like... It's a new Halo, and it's kind of a culmination of everything great about Halo. But it's not like a new console with a new Halo coming out where it's a huge step forward, so to speak.
Yeah.
Like, say if the new Xbox came out and it had, like, amazing graphics and it had amazing capabilities and, like, they were developing a new Halo game where there was going to be all this new stuff to it, we probably would have been more excited or whatever, you know, like, more wanting to play it because it felt so new. But this still feels like Halo 1, 2, and 3 with new elements to keep it fresh.
I think the thing is, too, is that we're such, like, Halo veterans, I guess you could call it.
We have played a shit ton of Halo.
I mean,
definitely. We proved that by how fast we beat it on fucking Legendary. You know, it took us, what, like, 10 hours on Halo 3?
Yeah, I guarantee you, like, our experience of it is going to be totally different than someone like, you know, my brother Jackson, who hasn't really, I mean, he's played some of it, but, or someone just playing it for their first time.
Well, even guys like Evros, who kind of stopped playing Halo 3, like, a year and a half ago or whatever.
Yeah.
It looks like he's enjoying it because he's on it all the time, and he's rarely doing that lately with games. He'll usually play it a little bit and then go back to like one of his other games that he wants to play.
It's a hard
game
not to
enjoy. Now he's playing it like nonstop. Every time he gets on, he's playing it or whatever. And I think that's because he's probably not played as much Halo as we have lately.
So what have you noticed has changed dramatically since the beta? Or not dramatically, but noticeably since the beta? If you want, I can go first because I got a good one.
Go for it.
Okay, invisibility. Mm-hmm. I used invisibility a ton during the beta, and you know, you just hit it and go. You know, that's pretty much all you did. You just turned invisible, and it didn't last very long. But it was good to get from, you know, like if you had to run across an open area, that was like the best thing it was used for. It was like trying to get from point A to point B without getting shot. Now, you have to barely move to keep invisible, mm-hmm. and I think. At first, I really hated it because I was like, dude, this is worthless, you know? But I've kind of found where it's good. It's good for defending. Like, if you want to defend a bomb planting spot or a flag or anything like that. Because I actually did this last night. I went invisible as two people were coming in. And what I did was they grabbed the flag, and I had a plasma repeater, and I just shot up one, just surprised him completely. Then the other one started shooting me, and, you know, I bounced a couple grenades off a wall and killed him. And I came out of that fairly unscathed, mostly because of the invisibility.
I think the reason why they probably did that too is, could you imagine if you had a game type and everyone chose invisibility, you just got a bunch of invisible guys running around trying to fight
but,
each other?
You know, it doesn't really last that long, though. So, that's the kind of trick to it. Is like, it's changed dramatically since the beta, as it could be used for offense as well as defense. Now it's pretty much a defensive weapon. That's all I can really see it used for. I used it a little bit in offense, but it would be like, I would run somewhere and I'd see an enemy and I'd go around a corner and go invisible. That's pretty much all I used it for. And now it seems like I can only use it as defense. And the thing is, you can't just keep it going, you know. You gotta, because it scrambles your radar too. It scrambles their radar. Yeah. So they're going to kind of know you're around. So what I have to do is, like, if I think someone's coming, I turn it on. If I don't see someone for a few seconds, I turn it off.
Yeah.
To see where they are on my radar.
I've done that too. Yeah, that's going to sound weird, but, like, I think just because you run so much in the campaign, that I've actually become quite a big fan of running, just using the run.
Oh, sprint, yeah. I use that a ton. I used it a lot in the beta, and I still use it a lot. It's just such a... I think the best example is just... I played Arena Doubles with Ben, and we dominated the shit out of each team we faced. Yeah. We won, like, 3 games by 20, like, it'd be 25-2. Like, it was ridiculous. And this was Arena... That. So you expect the teams you face to be really good. But anyways, he would use armor lock, and I'd use sprint. Every time he got in trouble, he would armor lock. I would sprint up there and just dominate both guys before he came out of armor lock. And it was just like, that's amazing. We had an awesome system going. Yeah. Sprint can be extremely helpful in a lot of cases.
Armor lock, dude. It pisses me off sometimes.
Armor lock, dude, yes.
No, like, sometimes I feel like it's almost too long.
Yeah, that's what
you said. But you're just like, you know, you got the guy weak. You're just standing there waiting for his armor lock to get fixed, or to get fixed, to go out. And
my armor lock is completely broken right now.
But I don't know. I just feel like it lasts too long sometimes.
I think it's fine, personally, but I haven't run into too many moments
I haven't been able to figure out how to use it efficiently.
Yeah, I don't use it at all, to be honest, because I can't use it well. And it's not because I probably couldn't. It's just because I don't. It's just not my style. Like, I'm very sprinty, you know, get the hell out of here or whatever.
Let's get
Whereas
the hell out of here.
Armor lock is just like, all right. And I just don't have the timing down. Like, but anyways, yeah.
Yeah. I've used sprint so much, too, where I have, like, some other, like, jetpack or something, and I just want to run. I jetpack into the air. Yeah. Like, shit, that's not what I wanted to do.
I like the invisibility because when I turn it on, I can say, don't you look at me. And I disappear. All right, so final question for
I still had to answer that. Probably my biggest... change from the beta, or noticeable change, is the grenades by far.
Yeah.
Just because I knew it was coming, but man, frag grenades have been pretty much useless for me during Halo. Like, Halo 3, I use them a ton. Like, you look at my Halo 3 kills on my service record, and frag grenades were like the third on there, or something like that. Now, like, I barely use them at all because, one, they nerfed it way too much because of, like, 3 different things. They changed the health amount. They put it down 1 point, so it takes 1 less point of damage, which doesn't sound like much, but that 1 point makes it so the people can get their shields back and, like, all their health back after a grenade if they live long enough. And 2, the fuse time is longer, so now it takes longer for them to blow up, so it makes it extremely hard to, like, guess where they're going to be. 3, the run time's been increased, or the run speed's been increased, and jump height have been increased, so it's like, you have these 4 factors working against the grenade, so now Like, freaking frags have just been pretty much crap for me anyways.
I think in time, though, once you get used to using them, it'll be easier. Because I've noticed, too, like when you're using DMRs or the pistol.
Yeah.
That's actually been pretty helpful. Because as long as you're there and you see the person and it goes off and you shoot them right away, it seems to take them out pretty easily. But as far as, like, getting a kill off her grenade, that's pretty hard. Because, like, the only kills I've seen is when, like, 9 people throw, like, 9 grenades into one room and they all blow up.
All I know is I used to get a ton of kill from the graves, and now I'm getting, like, maybe 3 or 4 total so far.
Yeah. All right, so final question. I just want a simple yes or no answer. If you guys want to qualify it, that's fine. But I think if we just spend too much time on this question, we could be here for, like, an hour. Do you think Halo Reach will be regarded as Game of the Year?
No.
No? Tyler?
I want to say yes, but no.
And it's not because I don't think it is.
Yeah.
It's because the critics these days won't think it
People
is.
People are assholes.
You know what? I would say yes. I think the bigger game companies like IGN and stuff like that still regard it as a hell of a series. It's more like the people that aren't as big that want to be edgy by saying they hate it.
Honestly, I think New Vegas is probably going to get it just because I think back to when was Fallout 3 came out, 2008?
Yeah.
2008. It got Game of the Year that year. I don't know what else came out in 2008 that I could have sworn there was a game that came out. I think it was Grand Theft Auto, actually.
In 2008?
Yeah. It's April of 2008.
Yeah.
I thought it was that I thought should have gotten Game of the Year, and it went to Fallout 3, and I was, like, surprised by that before I played Fallout, and I was like, oh, okay, Fallout is a good game once I played it. But I don't know. I just think for some reason, games with only, like, one player have been getting Games of the Year, and I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't
know. Like, Bioshock got it 1 year, I think, and I was, like, surprised by that.
Bioshock's a good game,
though. It was a good game, but Game of the Year over some of the other games out that year that have multiplayer, too.
Yeah.
Good multiplayer with good campaigns, I would think, deserve it. But
you know what they should do? They should do, like, 2 different categories, like multiplayer Game of the Year and, like, single player Game of the Year.
I guess that would depend on, you know, kind of which company's doing it. I know they're Spike TV usually has, like, the Video Game Awards or something. I guess we can regard them as kind of like the authority, but, you know, who knows anymore?
What the hell does MTV know about video games? Aren't they all about reality shows?
But I don't know. Let's take a look. What is Halo Reach's competition? New Vegas. Fable 3, if that's any good.
Civilization 5, possibly?
Battlefield 2.
Civilization 5 is a lot bigger than people think.
What else?
Black Ops,
but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how well Black... It seems that everything that's coming out this year is not necessarily a fresh take, but a refined take.
Yeah, like so a new, like a addition,
like,
or whatever.
It's like, which more is the new refined game? Is it going to be Fable 3, New Vegas, Halo Reach? I don't know.
It's going to be interesting.
What about Galaxy 2? Did that come out this year?
Yeah. That got really good scores, too. So
it could be Galaxy 2. Who knows? But that's also another one that's like, it's just more like a more refined version. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who knows? It'll be interesting to see it play out, but
like, I really hope it does, but I don't know. I think it'll be a close call.
Yep. All right, so that'll do it for a final Halo Reach Around segment. I hope you've enjoyed it. I don't know what our next kind of look forward will be.
New Vegas, probably.
Yeah, maybe New Vegas. Maybe we'll switch that up with, like, Civ 5 or something like that. But we'll see. We'll come up with a clever name for it, too, so keep people entertained with it. Anyway, so that'll do it for that. And that'll do it for the podcast. So for Tyler and Stefan, this is Matt signing out.